This program is brought to you by the partners and friends of Creflo Dollar Ministries.
Coming up next on Changing Your World.
No weapon. And every tongue. You will condemn it. I said you have the condemning power. You can condemn anything Satan tries to loose against you. I condemn it. I was walking through the house the other day, and the television on, they came up talking about next news, the coronavirus is hitting people's house. I said, it'll never come to this house in the name of Jesus. Just by pure fact, I heard it. When I hear it, I condemn it. When you hear it, you condemn it.
Grace Life 2020, featuring Creflo Dollar, Taffy Dollar, Michael Smith, Gregory Dickow, and Andrew Womack.
Come see what God's got to tell you.
It's eye-open, it's heart-open, it's just life-changing experience.
Don't miss it. We've been to every one of them. Don't miss it.
Join us as we bring you Grace Life 2020. To register now, text Grace Life to 51555 or visit us at CreflowDollarMinistries.org.
Greatest fear that Satan wants to put on Christian people is the fear that what God promised in His Word won't come to pass. Now, you're going to have it, you know, I see how the world operates in fear, but it's while you're saying, God says this, and you say, I'm going to stand on that. Well, for you, it is, He's trying to get you to be afraid that what God said won't happen. Yeah, but what if? I know God said that, but what if it don't happen? That's fear. Yes. That is the purest form of fear that attacks a believer. I don't know if this gonna happen or not. And that's where you go to fight. That's where you close the door. That's where you go in the bathroom. That's where you go outside and you start speaking to yourself.
Amen.
Anybody ever done that before? You start speaking to yourself. I mean, I get to preaching to myself, I have to slow down. I'm like, no, especially when I got that diagnosis of cancer. I had to preach, I mean, the first day I preached to myself every 15 minutes. This thing was working 24 hours a day to kill me.
Amen.
And I can't slack. I had to go for it. I had to keep going. And I know if people saw me, they'd think I was crazy. They would probably say, you need to go to a psychologist and they need to, you're losing it. But I believe God and I don't have time to prove to you. I believe God. You have to really just count things up. It's like, what are my other options? See, what I've done is eliminated all the options. So I'll always have one option. And my one option is Jesus. That's my option. It's Him. Either this thing is real or it is the biggest lie that has ever entered the planet. And I got too much evidence. See, He's already done enough. I can't ever go back to Doubting Thomas days. Every last one of you probably have some situation where something wasn't supposed to happen, and it happened, and you're still trying to figure out how. Or when you pray the prayer and before you can finish saying amen, God was already working on it. And you thought, some of you, I know you've been in a place where you thought, I'm getting ready to lose my mind. And where did the sanity come from? It came from that word. See, he's already done too much for me to forsake him. I will not forsake him. He will never forsake me. I will never forsake him. I'm in it for the relationship. Call me crazy Joe. It don't make no difference. I'm in this thing for the relationship. You cannot defeat a guy like that. See, you got to understand something. What you don't understand is I'm in my physical body right here. I'm in my physical body. So if something really stupid happened, all I did was slide over to my spiritual body. You ain't won nothing. You ain't never won nothing. When I'm with Jesus, you don't win. Devil, you don't win. Once you get connected to Jesus, the possibility of him being a winner is over. Satan is a loser. He can never, I don't even know why he's wasting his time. He can never even hope to be a winner. His days are over. He has been stripped. He has been embarrassed. He has no authority. His teeth have been pulled. His claws have been plucked. There is no possibility that the enemy can win against you. He's got to get you. He's got to get you to use your own authority against you to defeat you. If he's going to have any remnants of victory, he's going to have to do it by tricking you into doing it to yourself. And that ain't going to happen. And he clapping his hands and just having a good old time right now until he come around here to them doggone world changers. Them doggone world changers act like they ain't got no sense. He come up with this, you gonna get a virus. And we say, I wish you would. Jump on me and see don't you die instantly in the name of Jesus. You don't know who you fooling with, boy. You don't want none of me. You got to get yourself stirred up, man. You got to get yourself stirred up. I mean, trouble for you is just an opportunity to stand in the victory that you already got. Trouble to you is just another opportunity to let loose on the devil. It ain't like you got to do much because Jesus has already whipped him. Every now and then he try to stand up. Just put your foot, just stand there. You might do this, sit down. He under your feet. That's what the Bible says. He under your feet. He need to stay under your feet, praise God. No weapon. And every tongue, you will condemn it. I said you have the condemning power. You can condemn anything Satan tries to loose against you. I condemn it. I was walking through the house the other day and the television on, they came up talking about next news, the coronavirus is hitting people's house. I said, it'll never come to this house in the name of Jesus. Just by pure fact, I heard it. Just cause I heard it. Just when I hear it, I condemn it. When you hear it, you condemn it. Oh, they had a plane crash. Oh, that'll never happen to me. Not in the name of Jesus, I'll never die in a plane crash. Somebody said, now, wait a minute, brother. Now, you say that, you know, I don't know if you say that. The devil might do something because you said it. See, that is so wrong. That is so wrong. Do you know hell respects you enough that they have to bow down to what you say? And don't come to them talking in tongues. They don't want you to talk in tongues because when you talk in tongues, oh, my God. Now the Holy Ghost is working at the same time, praise the Lord. And you don't know what you just said in tongues, but you know it's good. You ought to threaten him sometime and say, look, I don't want to hear nothing from you today. I don't want to hear no more from you. You understand what I'm saying? So what are you talking about? Rebo shaka, watch out now. Rebo bo bo sheke de banda da ba. Say da 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 ba ba. Don't let me get them machine gun tongues. Rabba rabba. Rabba ba. Hallelujah, glory be to God. I got to remember. behind you tonight that you have authority, praise God. You're not the one that sits back and just gets beat up. You open your mouth up and you're the redeemed of the Lord. And whatever you bind on the earth is bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on the earth is already loosed in heaven. You have the keys of authority. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I apologize. I didn't mean hollering. Tonight. It's Bible study now. I ain't got to be hollering and stuff like that. I'm supposed to be teaching and talk about the Greek and the Hebrew with you. Ketoshababa. Now, let's go to John 16:10. John 16:10. And let's move into this next arena. John 16:10. He says, now of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Righteousness. Look at this in the NLT. You are the righteousness of God. Of righteousness because I go to my Father. Righteousness is available because I go to my Father. Righteousness is available because I go to my Father. Righteousness is available because I go to my Father. All right, righteousness is available. So what do we do when something's been made available for us? You take it, right? And when you got born again, you took your righteousness. Righteousness is available because Jesus has gone to the Father. Now, you are the righteousness of God now, the day you got born again and made Him the Lord of your life, you also received a gift of righteousness. You didn't have to earn it or work for it. It is a free gift of righteousness that was given to you by the grace of God. So say out loud, I am the righteousness of God. All right, now go to Luke 18:10. You are the righteousness of God, and that's big, because those who know who they are, glory to God, you are the righteousness of God, and you know you're the righteousness of God. Boy, you walk in a strong authority. Now, I'm going to show you this story about these two guys, one a Pharisee and one a publican. Verse 10 says, two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a publican. And the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. Watch this, self-righteousness, watch this. He said, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are. They're extortioners, they're unjust, they're adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Somebody say self-righteous.
Self-righteous.
So, I mean, he went before God in self-righteousness. Now, watch this publican. And the publican, standing afar off, would not even lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but he smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. All right, now watch what Jesus said on this. He says, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, but he that humbleth himself is the one that's going to be exalted. Now let's go back and check this out in the New Living Translation, because you and I are the righteousness of God, not by all the works that we have done, but because of what Jesus has done and our belief in what He has done. Two men went to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee, the other was a despised tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed this prayer, I thank you, God, that I'm not a sinner like everyone else. For I don't cheat, and I don't sin, and I don't commit adultery. 12, I'm certainly not like that tax collector. I fast twice a week, and I give you a tenth of my income. What is he trying to do? He's trying to justify his righteousness, right? He's trying to justify his righteousness based on what he does, all right? But the tax collector stood at the distance and dared not even lift his eyes to heaven as he prayed. Instead, he beat his chest in sorrow, saying, oh God, be merciful to me. In other words, I don't deserve nothing. Be merciful for me, he says, for I am a sinner. And Jesus commented and said, I tell you, this sinner, not the Pharisee, return home justified before God. Did you see what happened? The sinner, not the Pharisee, returned home justified before God. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. We are the righteousness of God, and we are righteous right now. Now, some people, you know, have this thing about, you know, you can never be righteous in the sight of God through your own righteousness, and that's absolutely the truth. In fact, let me show you these two scriptures real quick. Romans 3:10 and 23. Romans 3:10 and then verse 23. You can never be righteous in the sight of God through your own righteousness. I wrote a book years ago called, Self-Righteousness versus Righteousness, or something like that, you choose. And it was taken from that previous scripture about how we try to impress God through our own doings, our own self-righteous doings, and he's not impressed at all. Verse 10 says that it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. And this, of course, was before the grace of God came. He says, there was none righteous, no, not one. And then verse 20, whatever the other one I just said, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So back then, if you take those two scriptures together, how can anyone dare go around and declare they're righteous? He says, there's none righteous, and all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Even in that last illustration, the guy said, I have not sinned, okay? And so that was true about us until Jesus showed up, and we had an opportunity to receive his righteousness, and his righteousness is what made us righteous. I'm righteous because of what Jesus has done and not because of what I do. So our actions benefit us in relationships with people, and my actions have consequences. So this is hard to say. No, it's not hard to say. My actions around you will benefit me, negatively or positively. Not him. Not him. And I know that's so radical to hear. Now, that doesn't mean act stupid. But I'm talking about you trying to act right to achieve right. That's not going to benefit you. He ain't doing nothing for you because of your actions. He's doing everything for you because you believe. Not because of your actions, but because you believe. And all of my actions will have consequences, of course, while I'm on this planet. But I'm not doing something so awesome, and then he turns around and makes me right because of what I did. Remember the scripture I shared in, I think it was Galatians 2:16 in the NLT? It shocked so many preachers when I was in this minister's conference, and I showed this scripture. Turn there, Galatians chapter 2:16, and they freaked out. They were like, what? They thought I had, you know, you got another kind of Bible. I had them to read it out of their own Bible. He said, yet we know that a person is made right with God by faith in Jesus Christ and not by obeying the law. And the church has taught us that we had to do something, obey the law, in order to be made right with Jesus Christ. He says, we know that a person is made right with God by faith in Jesus Christ. Question tonight, how are you made right with God? By your faith or believing in Jesus Christ and not by obeying the law. And we have believed in Jesus Christ, and we have believed in Jesus Christ. Why? So that we might be made right with God. So I believe in Jesus Christ, I'm made right with God. So what does a person have to do to be made right with God? Believe in Jesus Christ. And he's made right with God because of our faith in Christ Jesus. So it's my faith in Christ Jesus. It's a believing issue. It's not a doing issue. The doing issue is going to line up with the believing issue. Your behavior issues are going to line up with the believing issues. That's why you have the Holy Spirit to help you in the believing issues, okay? He says, it's not because we've obeyed the law of Moses, for no one will ever be made right with God by obeying the law of Moses. And what has your traditional church taught us in times past? You got to obey the Ten Commandments or you're not going to be right with God. You got to obey the law of Moses or you're not going to be all right with God. Nobody ever took the time to say, no, you have to believe in Jesus. You believe in Jesus, you're made right with God. Watch this. You believe in Jesus, you're made right with God. You're made right with God, you'll do right. You know what we've done? I don't know if I believe in Jesus, I don't know if I'm right with God, and I still do wrong, trying to do right. I'm trying to get you off of, yeah, but what about what I did, or what about what that person did, or what about that? What about your belief? Do you believe Jesus? Do you have faith in him? You're made right with God. Okay, now you believe I'm the righteous. You believe you're the righteousness of God. Now you can do right because you got your identity. See, we've been allowing our behavior to determine who we are. Jesus now determines who I am. I am righteous because Jesus said it. I'm righteous. My acceptance of my identity, righteous, moves me to dealing with my behavior, acting right. You're gonna act right as long as you can let something happen, and then it changes your mind about who you believe you are. You do wrong, now you think you're wrong. You do bad, now you think you're bad. And then you come to church and they say, what do I do? Well, you gotta do good, and God will be good to you. That is so wrong. God's not good to you because you're good. God's not good to you because you're good. Think of that. All our life, we've been doing good because we thought doing good made God do good to us. It don't work. And I used to get frustrated because sometimes I was doing good and then nothing happened. And I sit up there and I realize the time that I might have wasted trying to do religious activities. And the only thing he asked for me to do is to believe in the one that he sent. What's that, John 6:29, believe, the only work I want from you. He says, Jesus told them, this is the only work God wants for you. Believe in the one he has sent. So my focus is on believing him. Most people think it's just a mental assent. No, believe in God, man. What you believe is going to move down into the action realm. You see a plane that's smoking, and you're supposed to get on that plane, you're gonna do what you believe. I ain't getting on that plane. Your belief will work its way. Your believing, it will infect your doing. It'll determine what you do and what you don't do. But now we got to learn the difference between believing right under grace versus believing wrong under the law that came by Moses. When you believe right, you're gonna what? Live right. But you gotta believe right. And the right belief is Jesus. The only work I want you to do is to believe in the one that he sent. And that one is Jesus Christ. If everybody understand that, say amen. So good actions equal good consequences. Bad actions, bad consequences. That's while you're on the earth in this horizontal plane. So somebody says, well, can I act the way I want to act? See, here's the deal. Your actions, sin is offensive. All right, so you can go around talking about, well, praise God, I believe in Jesus, I'm good to go. Yeah, you are. But down here, you're gonna cause problems how you act and behave. How you act and behave in the horizontal, it's a relationship world. And what you do is gonna affect somebody else. And so you say, well, I don't have to be good for God to be good to me. Yeah, but God's gonna be good to you so you can be good to somebody down here. So it's that vertical relationship that hopefully will influence your horizontal relationship, because the Holy Spirit is grieved based on how we treat each other. So if you treat each other in bitterness, you treat each other bad in the horizontal, that can always go back to the vertical. I can always go back and say, if you acting like that, then I need to check out what you're believing vertically. Believing who you are, all of this. It's the vertical relationship that will give us clarity on your horizontal relationship. The vertical relationship. You right in the horizontal, you're broken, you're mean, you're mad, you're lustful, you're tempted, because you don't have no horizontal. And that's the problem. There are a lot too many people living a horizontal life with no vertical. Too many people living a horizontal life, no vertical. They work on the physical and they work on the mental and have a good attitude, but have no vertical relationship.
As believers under grace, the Word of God reminds us that we are no longer living under the law, but are to be led by the Spirit in all that we do. The Holy Spirit guides us and gives us a divine advantage in every aspect of our lives, if only we would receive it. If you are struggling with yielding to the guidance of your unseen partner, the Holy Spirit, or need a boost in your faith to follow Him, the 5-message CD series, The Spirit-Led Life, is just for you. Receive it today for just $30.
No weapon formed against you shall prosper. When you put your focus and consideration on what the Word says, then you'll begin to be spirit-led versus emotionally led.
You have to get today's message, you guys. It's so powerful. It will literally change your life.
Or you can combine this transformative series with the highly requested book, The Holy Spirit, Your Financial Advisor. This $50 bundle is available today for just $40. Call now or visit the website on the screen to order. 5 Teachers of Grace. 5 days of fellowship and worship. A lifetime of victory. Grace Life 2020 featuring Creflo Dollar, Taffy Dollar, Michael Smith, Gregory Dickow, and Andrew Womack.
It's eye open, it's heart open, it's just life changing experience.
Come see what God's got to tell you.
Grace message is just the message for today. They are rightly dividing the word of truth, and they care about the hearts and the souls of all people.
Don't miss it. We've been to every one of them. Don't miss it.
Join us as we bring you Grace Life 2020, July 6th through the 10th. This will be another amazing event, and seats will go fast. To register now, text Grace Life to 51555 or visit us at CreflowDollarMinistries.org. We will see you soon.
Jesus instructed us to take this gospel to the uttermost parts of the earth. With the seeds you sow into Creflo Dollar Ministries, we extend this good news of grace to people on every single continent. They are empowered to see real change in their lives. That's exactly what you do when you send in your financial donations to support our outreach endeavors. You empower change in people's lives. And for that, we say thank you. And God bless you. I'll see you next time, right here on Changing Your World.
If you want to honor the Lord by sowing financial seeds into Creflo Dollar Ministries, call the number on your screen or log on to CreflowDollarMinistries.org. Can't make it to service? No problem. Join our online worldwide audience. Experience the same atmosphere of praise, worship, and teaching of God's Word from any mobile or smart device. We're excited that you've decided to stay involved as we continue our mission to flood this world with the gospel of grace and empower change in the lives of people all over the world. Your generosity allows us to make a difference in the lives of people all over the world. Through Creflo Dollar Global Missions, we are providing food, clothing, crucial supplies, and the Word of God to people in the most remote regions of the world. Because of you, Creflo Dollar Ministries is providing a new understanding of grace and empowering change in the lives of millions of people every day. Thank you, partners and friends. Your love and financial support makes it possible to bring this message into millions of homes all across the globe.